evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the State Government Finance Committee hearing, and I trust everybody has had time to read the bill and see what we're doing. We have members that are going to be in and out during this meeting because there's other committees that are going on that are in a conflict with it, so we will be voting on this bill and voting it out. So first item of business, if the clerk would note the roll, and then Representative Strand, do you want to approve the minutes for March 23rd?
Yes, I'll make that motion, Mr. Chair.
All right. Are there any changes or corrections? Okay, if not, Representative Strand moves the minutes of March 23rd. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. The next item on the business is the, we've laid aside the House File 3064, and I will move, we're bringing that back up today and for passage, so I will move House File 3064 be recommended pass and put on the general register. Is there any discussion? If not, all in favor, I'll renew my motion for House File 3064 be recommended pass and put on the general register. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion then prevails. All right. To the budget. We have House File 2684 before us, and I will move that bill, and then to put the bill in order, we have the DE4 amendment is what we'll be working off of. So do we have, and this is all the final changes and everything that we'll put into it. So, is there any discussion on DE4 amendment to put the bill in order? Okay. All right. Then, we do have one amendment. It's an A1 amendment, and that is Representative Jacobson?
Yes.
Okay. So Representative Jacobson, you're moving the A1 amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
All right. And explain the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, this is just a little piece of language added. A number of us on this committee went and toured the Ford building and learned a little bit more about its history and what this means to the University Avenue area, and I think had a chance to see some of the possibilities of what could be done with that building. And I know there's a group out there that is looking at it and would like to see it preserved. This amendment gives them an opportunity and a little bit of time to see if they can in fact find a way to put a package together to get the job done. I think it's a fine piece of history in this area, and preserves a portion of the area around the Capitol for people other than just those of us that work here.
All right. Comments? Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The tour that Representative Jacobson is referring to is one that I missed. I wanted to go on that. Just wondering if Representative Jacobson could give us a little bit of information on the historic nature of the building.
Oh. Representative Jacobson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. certainly, this was a building built in, I believe, 1913 by the Ford Motor Company as an assembly plant. It was fairly common at that time to build smaller assembly plants located around the country, trying to keep the production of vehicles close to the final market. Basically, the vehicles were assembled right in the building with some of the lighter components put together at the top, and they worked their way down to a final assembly or finished product on the ground floor. There's a similar building in Minneapolis that was actually a larger facility, both of which were made obsolete by the assembly line process, which is still in use, obviously, today, in the plant that was built out on Ford Parkway in St. Paul along the Mississippi River. It's a, from an architectural standpoint for me, it's a fascinating building. It's built to withstand the weight of vehicles and the heavy components that go into it. A very column-based building. It seems to be supported from the inside via columns rather than from the outer skeleton and built in. It's just to me, it's a great piece of history.
Okay. All right, Representative Kahn. Before we do that, we got one technicality. We do have to approve the DE4 amendment to then put this amendment on if it goes on. So, any discussion of the DE4 amendment? If not, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion and prevail. So we're working off the DE4 amendment. Representative Kahn to the amendment A1.
Mr. Chairman, I strongly support the Jacobson Amendment. I was on the tour, too, and it was another interesting facet about that was that Henry Ford very much wanted to have a building close to the Capitol. The major assembly plant was this Minneapolis building, which then became obsolete almost as soon as it was built because they moved away from this gravity-fed assembly of cars, which was done, individual assembly of cars, to the line assembly, which then meant that they needed to get that laid out plan near the Ford Bridge in St. Paul. But it was also, you know, the fact that that building was located at that specific site for the express purpose of being close to the Capitol is another factor. And we've done a lot of restoration. We did restoration on that building before, you know, so we've had a lot of discussion about the nature of preserving that building. And the other only change I might want to make to the amendment is, besides transfer ownership, maybe or arrange rental and lease. I think that fits in with what we're doing on.
So, Representative Kahn, you're looking
same language that we have in the hospital.
Okay.
6-4, whatever we're doing there.
All right. So on line 13, Representative Kahn, you want
to
make an oral?
Okay with Representative Jacobson, I'd like to add the same language that we have in the hospital in 3064, or as an or, either one.
Let's see here.
What?
Representative Jacobson?
I would be just fine with that. I appreciate Representative Kahn's help.
Okay, so we would transfer ownership or to lease is what we just after. We delete the comma and then put or lease.
Just that.
Mr. Shepard?
Mr. Chair, just looking at this, it might work best on page 1, line 8, and on page 1, line 13 of the amendment, after the phrase attempt to insert lease or. So it would read, make reasonable efforts to attempt lease or transfer ownership of the building to a person or entity, and the same change on line 13.
Okay.
Chairman.
Representative Kahn.
Those of us who spend a certain amount of time that have, unfortunately, no capital but great plans for that building. They showed us they had a meeting, which I didn't attend later. The group that wants to work on preserving this had a meeting at another similar Ford building, that's down University, which is a workout space. That could be a combined, really good restaurant and workout space. And they could serve lots of red wine and chocolate in it.
But no smoking, right?
Yes. Anti-cancer, anti-obesity, it would be a great
but
contribution.
As long as they stand at 0.08, we're okay, right?
You wouldn't have to because you just go through the check. You don't get checks for being 0.08 when you go through the tunnel.
Yeah, right. So we're saying that we're going to preserve the Ford plant because they gave cars to the legislators. That's why they located close to the Capitol, so we had access to cars. And now we can go over the tunnel through the tunnel and drink. Not a bad deal, huh?
And exercise.
So it'll be healthy in one way and Where's the Y's come in on this? Okay, we have an oral amendment to the A1 amendment, and should we just incorporate that, members? Okay. All right, is there anyone here in the audience testify for or against this amendment? Okay, if there's no further discussion, Representative Jacobson renews his motion on the A1 amendment. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion prevails. Okay. A1 is on. All right, discussion on the bill before us, members. Representative Thiessen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Could we have someone from Military Affairs come up to answer a couple questions?
Welcome to the committee, Colonel. If you state your name, who you represent for the record.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Colonel Lenny Lord, Executive Director of the National Guard.
Okay. I'm Jerry Palmer, the Comptroller for the Department of Military Affairs.
All right. Representative Thiessen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I know that we had some testimony on this before on the tuition reimbursement issue. And I see that we are putting $3.1 million, adding that to your budget for tuition reimbursement this coming year.
Correct.
Do we have any projections that shows how that's going to be used, or where that number comes from?
Mr. Palmer.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Thiessen, we did a fiscal note based on our assumptions relative to the participation of people in the current program, and we have to make some adjustments in the way we compute that number, because what we don't know is, number one, how many people are going to apply for the program, and how many credits they're going to take, and what institutions they're going to go to. So those all affect the amount of money that is spent. So what we try to do is come down to a participation rate, a per participant rate. And because of so many deployments, we went back to fiscal year 02 and came up with a number that we adjusted based on the increase in tuition rates at the University of Minnesota, which was 15% and 10% the following year. So essentially what we did then is looked at the amount of tuition reimbursement per participant and projected the number of participants and came up with that number of 3.1 million.
Okay, Mr. Chair.
Representative Thiessen,
the 3.1 million, then that will, you're expecting that you're going to spend all that money in 2005 in addition to the 4.8 million that you already had in the budget, so you're going to spend close to $8 million under your projections?
Mr. Palmer,
in 2005?
Mr. Chair, Representative Thiessen, that's correct.
Okay. And I know that this is an incentive program to get people into the National Guard, and I think that makes sense. Do you think that for this 1 year of 2005, that additional $3.1 million is necessary, or could you perhaps get by with like $2.8 million?
Mr. Palmer.
Mr. Chair, that's a leading question.
Yeah. Mr. Palmer, maybe reflect on that for a second, but let me make a statement. Representative Thiessen, in the week of Christmas, I was in Bosnia with Colonel Lord, and we held several town meetings with the troops while we were over there. And this was an area that was very important to them. They had a lot of needs that they brought up that they would like us to address, and we told them at that time, you know, we can't address all of them, but we prioritize the most important ones to them. And what you see in this bill is a reflection of those priorities. And when the governor was over there the week previous to that, he had talked to a lot of the troops also. So that is why you see this additional money in there, because it's an incentive to for the troops to continue their education. It not only benefits them in their professional life, but also benefits them in their military career with the Guard. So, you know, I'm a little cautious about taking this money, because we're doing something to try to help the troops keep recruitments up and keep our complement full. That's really the key.
Brian, if I can just follow up on that, Mr. Chair. As I recall, a testimony on this from a couple weeks ago, I think we're at 80% now, and this would go to the 100%, and that's what the part of the difference is here. But I think if I recall correctly, you indicated that you didn't think that, at least in the short term, that increase was necessarily going to increase the number of the recruitment for the guard. And that, I guess that's one of the things that's driving my question. Just a couple other pieces of historical perspective from what I can tell. In 2001, we had about $2.1 million in this program. In 2002, $3.5 million. 2003, we had $5 million, which includes a reduction of $500,000. And last year, we were at 4.8, which is not any, it was the only thing in the budget, I think, that didn't have a decrease in the budget. And now we're adding another $3 million. And so I'm just, in the context of, you know, I think this is important, and I support that, but in the context of everything else being cut, and then we're increasing this essentially by 25% this year. And I also think, you know, while we got to recognize and honor the commitment of our troops and all that, we also have to honor the things they're fighting for, like freedom and opportunity for everyone and equality. And I think that there's some other programs, like this assistive technology grant, which is kind of underlying my questions here, you know, that are a very effective way to extend those freedoms in our society, and those things that they're fighting for in our country, on things like opportunity. So that's kind of where I'm coming from, but I'm sorry.
Colonel Ward.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, the program that started back in Representative Kahn can help me out along the line, because she was instrumental in getting this going in there back in 1986 time frame. The issue at that time, the program initially started out to get 75% for tuition reimbursement for participants. Unfortunately, the reason you saw the rise along that line in there is that the law allowed for 75% to be paid. The exception was that the appropriation was significantly lower than that. And until we got the raise back up, every year we ended up reducing the amount of the cost, and at one time it was less than 49%, 48% of paying the students to go to school, and basically telling them when we initially brought them into the Guard, this is a 75% program. But, by the way, it's a reimbursement program, so consequently, we didn't know, based on the number of participants at that time, at the end, we ended up reducing the cost associated. So we basically were selling a bill of goods that it was dishonest, where we didn't have the money to come along and pay the soldiers that were participating in it. That's why you saw the rise in each one of those costs, to try and keep it up to that 75% level. And really, we didn't pay 75% up until 2 years ago when we got that increase along to the 80%. If the program continues with another participants, we wouldn't be able to pay at the 80% rate even along that line. Because of the cost, you know, 15% at the University of Minnesota, the number of participants along those lines. So that 80% is good normally for 1 year, and then it's depending on the number of participants. And even at the 100% level, with the inflation and the costs associated with those increases, it's very difficult to stay in line with what we were telling these young people and saying you're going to pay 100%. But sometimes we don't know, and it gets reduced.
Representative Thiessen.
One more follow-up, Mr. Chair. Thank you. And just one more piece of context here. This would just, the assistive technology grant, the $300,000, is a one-time grant, and so the, you know, arguably the money would come back to the tuition reimbursement program right away, and that $300,000 does leverage, you know, close to $2 million in other funds going forward. You know, so when we're thinking about the investments that we're going to make, I think it's important to keep that context in place as well. I mean, this, you know, I don't know if we can write it into the law, but you to have the base set at the 3.1 or the $7 million for 2006, 2007, so that they don't lose their base because of this $300,000 rejection, but reduction. But in any event, that's, I'll let others talk.
Representative Kahn.
Well, Mr. Chairman, considering that this tuition reimbursement is not known how much it is, and what Representative Thiessen is bringing to us is something that's specifically known, there is actually a way to do both, which is to write language that to cut the amount down to the amount that Representative Thiessen wants, but then add language to the place that if there is more money is needed for this year, then it can come either out of the budget reserve or out of the contingent account. I think the contingent account is the contingent account has not been touched in the last year, I assume?
From my understanding, there's not a whole lot of money in that.
$100,000, isn't it?
Contingent account. For us or for the overall budget?
The overall budget. Well, can we not? I saw shakes about the budget reserve. I don't want to appropriate it. I just want to give the allowance if the money is needed. You know, again, I would say that's the kind of thing that you want to go into the budget reserve if we need it for that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. As opposed to just doing what Representative Thiessen is doing and leaving the possibility of not needing that allowance for the troops.
Representative Kahn, I know we can't touch the budget reserve.
Well, I'm not touching it.
That's locked in. So.
I'm not touching it. I'm just making it as a backup.
I don't know how our
budget reserve is supposed to be a backup.
Right, but there's.
And so.
But Representative Kahn, there's real question with our bond council that if we do anything with that or make any commitments with that money, that we could be in jeopardy of losing our bond rating. And I, for one, in this budget, in the state government finance budget, do not want to jeopardize our bond rating. And anyway, that's a question we'd have to get clarified from finance, I believe, revenue. So,
Mr. Chair.
Representative Cornish.
I have a question for the Colonel. How big of a part in recruitment does the tuition reimbursement play on like a 1 to 10 scale when a prospective recruit is thinking about joining the Guard?
Mr. Chair, Representative Cornish, let's see. It's been our number one program. It's one of those right now. It's been one of the primary reasons that people join the National Guard, other than for patriotic reasons. And there's a lot of that. I need to tell you about that. It is the education program that they get to. I just returned from Kosovo. I was there last week along the line in there. They came along and to add on what the chairman mentioned about people bonding. I talked to a lot of young soldiers over there involved in what they're doing right now, which is dangerous work, and they talk about this program, about the tuition reimbursement program, about the possibility of it getting to 100%, about will it still be there, what is the legislature doing for this along the line, is that one of those? And the programs that you've done for this year and outlined for the reenlistment bonus program and the tuition program are both high on their list.
Representative Cornish.
Mr. Chair, in a full-time war, how much of our fighting forces would be made up of Guard reserves and contingents of percentage range?
Colonel Ward.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Cornish, we are in a full-time war. Issues right now. I mean, that's one of the things that maybe we don't realize, we take for granted, but folks, we're at war right now. I just came, like I said, from Kosovo with our folks over there. They had a young soldier killed yesterday. We've got people in Iraq that are in there doing that. Let's not kid ourselves about us not being at war right now just because we're not getting bombed here in this country. And those kids are in harm's way, and we're going to continue to be in that thing here. And depending on how many more deployments we're going to be involved in, and that's on a continuous basis, we've got people that are coming back. We've been bouncing around the 3,000 number of participants from the National Guard. That ebbs and flows. We will again increase the numbers here, I think, relatively soon as replacement troops. Right now, the active component cannot prosecute the war effort without the Guard and Reserves participation. We are an integral part of what they do on a day-to-day basis.
Mr. Chair.
Follow up, Representative Cornish.
You colonels made my point here. Is I was a company commander of the A Company, the tank company, and the National Guard. One thing I got in my butt chewed more than anything else was recruitment and retention. And we needed every bit of incentive to keep our strength up continually and has just a constant effort in recruitment. And people actually threatened to lose their command if they didn't get the recruitment because it was so important. And so I think to show our support for the troops and for the Guard and to help out the recruitment program, we need every incentive we can get. And so I feel bad about just giving them this much. And so I wouldn't be in favor of cutting it back, that's for sure.
Representative Rhodes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There's a couple of things. First of all, keep in mind that our border states do offer 100% tuition. Second of all, it's not just about new recruits, it's about retention. And they still will be eligible for the education, and retention is going to be a problem. And third of all, All you have to do is go to a deployment and see the young kids clinging to their mothers and fathers that are going to be leaving for a year, year and a half, to wherever it's Bosnia, Kosovo, or to any place, they're all around the world. And you'll feel, you know, I respect what you're trying to do, but you're pulling it out of the wrong fund. I would appreciate if you would not mess with the National Guard. We need every tool we can have to help them.
Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. With all respect to Representative Thiessen, I can't support your request. My son was overseas, and I've seen what it has done to his family. I would very much like to hear Representative Thiessen's position and argument insofar as his proposed amendments. But I cannot support your request to take it away from the National Guard.
Representative Thiessen.
Well, and, you know, and I hear what everybody's saying, and this is not about not supporting the troops and people like that, and, you know, I hope people understand that. I do think the fact, though, that we are in a time of war goes to this issue of the tuition reimbursement. And for this reason, because when we're in time of war and people are deployed, they're not, as I understand it, they're not going to be in school. And so in the short term, in 2005, fiscal year 2005, I'm just wondering if your projections have accounted for the fact that we are in a time of war, and so we may not need as much in the short term. You're going to have the money going in the long term, and that's the question that I'd like, that's where I'm coming from.
Colonel Lord.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Thiessen, I understand exactly what you're asking. I wish I had a crystal ball to say, okay, we anticipate that we're going to have more folks, and I just said that. We are anticipating in the short term, 6 months along that line in there, that we'll have more people involved in it. But on the other side of that, we hope that we're going to have a return of a number of people to be able to participate in this. So our best estimate has been the numbers that Mr. Palmer came along with that line in here. And we may not be correct in that. But I would rather err on the point that we can, that we made a commitment to these young people when they come back, that we'll have the resources there available for them to use. And the fact is, if they come back and they're not available, then what? That's my concern.
Representative Thiessen, another thing. A number of the troops over in Bosnia, boredom is huge. I mean, when you're sitting on a military base that's maybe 3/4 mile square, you cannot leave the base. There's nothing really to do except for playing basketball, floor hockey, volleyball, and exercise and eat and jog. That's all you really do. There's nothing to do on the base. That these soldiers are going to school online. And so their family budgets are strained because they're gone, and then to not reimburse them or run out of money for reimbursement for education purposes, I think would be a real tragedy for them. Because I tell you, when you go over there and you see how, you know, and the positive attitude these troops have, you know, in the conditions they're living, you know, a big day for what a soldier is being called and say you're going to escort the supply truck to another camp. That's when they get off base. And that's a big day off the base, you know. So, and they look, actually, yeah. It doesn't matter whether you're a private or a colonel. You look forward to that day where you can go to that next base just to get off the base for the day and break the boredom. So, it, you know, I really have a problem. The other thing is, Colonel Lord, did this group come before you and ask if you could accommodate this appropriation in your budget?
Mr. Chairman, the group in Kosovo that I just talked to, I guess I was very optimistic about this because I was going through the legislature at the time that I was over there with it, and that, like I said, it was last week, and they felt good about the potential of going to the 100% for one thing along that line.
Okay.
Now, I need to tell you, since I've left over that time, you know, they've been fully engaged in actual combat along that line, and so they're no longer constrained so much to the base and being involved. They are out doing the patrols and participating with the public. And it's significantly different than what it was just a few months ago.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, can I?
Representative Thiessen.
And I haven't even offered the amendment yet. And from the looks of it, it probably would be a futile effort in any event. I do think that this assistive technology grant makes a whole bunch of sense for the state, and it would be the right thing to do, and it's a wise investment. But I have another suggestion, and that would be to increase our state land sales to $6,175,000, anticipated state land sales from the $5,875,000, and that would give us an additional $300,000 in the budget for the assistive technology grant. Thank you for coming up. I'm sorry to have...
Yeah. Well, Representative Thiessen, one of the things that I... when the technology group approached me and asked me if we, you know, we put this in the budget, and I told them we had no money, but I said, if you can work with an agency and get them to agree that they would have find the money for you, we can do it. And it doesn't sound like that's what was done here. I think it's basically, and they can correct me if I'm wrong, is basically they found a pot of money within the budget that could be tapped. And, you know, and I don't disagree. I think it's a good project that they're working on. But, we, you know, this budget is really tight. And I know even increasing land sales, I had quite a discussion with leadership because they want to do more land sales. And I said, no, this is the maximum amount we can do. It's a stretch, and I just don't want to increase land sales anymore because you know, we're going to increase more costs to advertise more land sales. So I think at this point, it's just not feasible in this area. If this group can work with an agency and find the money within the agency, then, and the agency does agree to it, then, you know, we'll consider it. But we cannot move outside of these guidelines that have been set up within this budget, because we have to also look out in the future and what we can sustain and things like that.
Well, Mr. Chair, I would like to make a motion on page 9, line 8, to delete $5,875,000 and insert $6,175,000.
You mean 6 million?
$6,175,000, thank you. And also the same change on page 9, line 29. And then I do have this, the language for the appropriation. It's attached to the amendment that I handed in. It's Representative Erickson's bill. It's the language taken from her bill, which is to make these $250,000 and $50,000 grants. And I don't know if we want to hear from the assistive technology folks again. Probably not at this point. I think we heard that bill before, and I think people were in agreement that they thought it was a good day. I don't know where this $5.875 million number comes from. I don't know if it's based on any hard kind of analysis of the data. And so if it is, that's one thing. If it's not, then perhaps adding $300,000 to do this good work makes sense.
Okay. Representative Kahn.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to speak in favor of this. And one of the things that you know is that we've got probably a good 2 months to the end of the legislative, no, month and a half to the end of the legislative session. And the one thing that Representative Thiessen amendment does is keep this in play. And we know that that land sale adjustment and other things are going to be adjusted, but there's no language anywhere in the bill that's keeping this in play. And so I think we ought to pass this now, and I think we can, whatever analysis you did to come up with the 5185 number, you just wave your hands a little harder and come up with a new number. So, and I have every faith in your ability to do that.
Okay. Well, Representative Thiessen, it's been indicated to me by this group that they don't need the $300,000 on top of that.
Oh, so how much do they need?
Well, they told me, myself and Mr. Jordahl, that, you know, could they get $200,000?
Okay.
You know, but I mean, so the number is moving around, you know, and what do you really need here? And that's the thing. But, you know, in this budget, we just can't move off the numbers we have, because the way we structure is put this together to make it work, you know, that is why what you see before us today. First of all, are you doing an oral amendment, or are you doing one?
Well, I haven't made the amendment, so that would be the amendment.
Okay. Do you want to just put a number on the let's see here.
Is it reverse option?
Yeah. It works. Okay.
If it makes a difference, we'll go to $200,000.
Yeah, right. We have $150,000. Okay.
200's good enough.
The, I'm just trying to see if we can, Ms. Roberts and Mr. Shepherd penciled in a amendment to one of the amendments you have up here. Let's look at the one that has the 1.3, we'll use that one, the 1.35 million on it, and we'll delete the first part of it, we'll leave section 26 in it. So you're, Ben, we'll call this the A1, or A...
200.
Do we have an A1 amendment already? Okay, so to call this the A2 amendment for Thiessen?
It's been like, yeah.
Okay. So, you want to go with 200?
Yes.
Yeah, and then change that to 150,000 after the 1? Well, there's a lot.
Okay, we got...
Mr. Chairman, please go slow here.
I know, we're working through this, okay. So what we're going to do, we're going to just... Okay.
Not out of the National Guard, is it?
No. Okay, here's what the Thiessen amendment would read. On page 9, line 8, delete 5,875,000 and insert 6,075,000.
Correct.
Okay?
That's fine.
And then on page 9, line 29, delete the 5.875 million and insert 6075 million. And then we had one more section. The 300 gets changed to 200. And on section 26, and then on the second line, we drop down to change 150, or 250 to 150. And I think that's...
The last set of numbers that you... I'm not sure where you're at.
We're to section 26 on the amendment. Okay. And you see the first figure is 300,000, change to 200,000. And then the second sentence changed from 250 to 150. Okay?
Thank you.
That is the change there. So, all right. So members, we have the A2 amendment, Thiessen amendment before us now.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Seifert.
Well, Mr. Chairman, did Representative Erickson Hamp, was she the chief author of this
yes.
bill?
Yes.
I mean, I thought that this was a decent proposal when it was brought forward, and
I would know. She said it's the only time she ever got general fund money.
Representative Seifert.
Mr. Chairman, I remember Representative Erickson, in 7 years, this is the first time she's ever authored a bill for any money, and... You know, we usually throw the DFL one crumb in a... I really don't think this is too outrageous, and I know that they were talking land sales of way, way, way above what we're talking about, so I guess I don't see it as that unreasonable, but if other members think it's real outrageous...
Representative Thiessen, can you guarantee this committee that we will not see any amendments on the in Ways and Means or on the floor for increased land sales from
yes.
any area?
Not from me.
No. that wasn't the question. I think you're bringing talking technical lawyer talking. Don't no incrimination, right? So, is there any discussion or any comments for or against this from anyone in the audience that would like to speak to this? Okay, members. Any further discussion? Okay. If not, Representative Thiessen then renews his motion on the A2 amendment, and we all have the language here, and we're going to have to get it written up. So, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? No. Motion then prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. All right. Any further discussion to the bill? If not, then I renew my motion that House File 2684, as amended, recommend to pass and be referred to the Committee of Ways and Means. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. And the bill is passed. All right. Okay. We have one announcement. Mr. Jordan.
Committee members, staff, we are tentatively, we may have to meet for miscellaneous odds and ends next week, so please do not clear up our normal hearing time. You'll be informed as to agenda and times, but we may have to meet again next week for odds and ends. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Meeting is adjourned.